Let's all bow.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly before your presence. We know that you are the King of all, the Creator of all things, and before you we are nothing before you. We are just specks. We thank you for the love that you show us and the mercy that you show us. For without your Son, Yahshua, we could have no salvation. We thank you for all the many blessings you provide for us, for looking down on us and giving us the rain and looking out for our needs. And you know our needs before we even know them ourselves, Yahweh. And we are so grateful for looking out for us as a father would. We ask this earth in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Let's all be seated. Whenever we pray, most of the times we go in asking for a blessing from Yahweh. You know, all of us want to have good things from Yahweh. You know, even those who don't regard Yahweh, you know, maybe they're atheists or whatever, would like to have good things happen to them in their lives. But as a contrast to how things are nowadays, there's actually a blessing that comes from humility. It's a very different thought from nowadays. You may find in a news report that blessed are the independent. You may find some rich mogul that has, you know, made tons of money and, you know, people look up to them. Or you may see, like, a news report, like, blessed are the self-sufficient. You may find someone that, you know, doesn't really rely on anyone, that just, you know, takes, you know, they take charge of life. They see what they want, and they just take charge, and they don't care what happens. They just do whatever happens. You know, or maybe other lists of reasons why this is so. But in fact, if you find the Bible, there's actually a blessing that comes from a humble spirit. And like I said, it's very different from today's society of taking what you want. And I'd like to discuss this in the sermon of why, what it means to be humble. I think this is very important for us as believers to understand what it means to be humble, and also the blessing that comes from humility. Because I think if we understand these two things, then it'll help our relationship, you know, with our Heavenly Father, and also help us to gain some success in our lives. First, I'd like to talk about what it means to be humble. You know, a lot of times, it, you know, like the picture behind me, you think of those terms of, you know, someone who's with bowed head, someone of lowly, and a lot of things go along with that. But I like to turn to Luke 7:36-47. I think it gives a really good depiction of what it really means to be humble. Here we have Yahshua, and he's talking. Here's the background of the story. Yahshua goes in with this Pharisee, and a woman comes into his house and meets him. And here's the encounter we have. In verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yahshua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." I just want to pause here for a moment here. It's an interesting contrast between this Pharisee and this woman. Here we have this Pharisee who has his house. He brings Yahshua into him, and Yahshua comes to him almost. And then you also have this woman who has sought Yahshua out, and she comes to him rather than Yahshua going to the Pharisee. She does all of these things for him. Why? Because she sees herself as a sinner. And the Pharisee even sees it, that, you know, perhaps this woman is not of high repute, or maybe she's not, you know, maybe she doesn't have very many titles behind her name or hasn't done anything great. He sees her as a sinner. Why does he see her as a sinner? If he sees her as a sinner, then he obviously doesn't see himself as a sinner. That's the only reason why I can see this statement, because hopefully it makes sense. In other words, he is comparing himself to her. He is seeing his righteousness through her. And as we continue, we see the main reason why Yahshua had a problem with this. Yahshua said unto him in verse 40, "Simon, I have something to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There is a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him most?" Now, I mean, just ask, I ask you the same question, too. You know, you can answer the same thing in your head. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom was forgiven most, which makes sense. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou dost not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loved little. In this parable, who do we see as ourselves? And even in comparison to the Pharisee and the woman, do we look at ourselves as this Pharisee? Or do we look to ourselves as being more like this woman? In the parable, do we look to ourselves as more of the one who owed the 50? Or do we look to ourselves as more of the 500? You know, like I said before, if you compare yourself to someone in the world, let's say someone who's addicted to drugs, or someone who is a criminal, you know, someone who's maybe just come out of jail, or maybe someone who perpetually cheats and lies. If you were to compare yourself between that person and yourself, I would say most of us would say that we're probably better than those people. But if you compare yourself to Joshua, our highest example, how can we really compare ourselves? Whereas, you know, nothing before him. You know, we just talked about in the Bible study that Yahweh regards, he views us all as equal. So in that respect, I believe that's what sin, or not sin, but what humility is really all about. It's seeing ourselves as who we really are and what we really are. Do we really recognize ourselves as sinners? You know, do we recognize that, you know, even though, you know, I've been in the faith all my life, and that sometimes is a danger because you see yourself perhaps maybe as better than someone else. Maybe you see yourself, well, I've kept a Sabbath all my life. I'm better than someone who's never kept a Sabbath all their life. But if I don't recognize myself as being a sinner, if I don't recognize the fact that I need Yahshua as my sacrifice, then that's a very dangerous thing to do. It's all about, like I said, seeing ourselves as who we are, seeing ourselves as sinners. Obviously, in this example, the Pharisee did not see himself as a sinner. He saw himself as someone that is righteous, which is why I believe he did not attend to Yahshua the way he should have. Had he did, he would have fallen at Yahshua's feet and said, forgive me, as this woman did herself. She had the right attitude, and we also should have that same attitude. You know, in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim. You know, we all need his mercy. We all just need to realize that you know, we're all sinners worthy of death, and we all need his mercy. You know, it doesn't matter how righteous you have been. Not that it's wrong to do good. It's always good to do good. We always need to realize that we still need that mercy to be shown to us. You know, do we realize how small we really are? You know, the great thing about science is, you know, even though lots of people have distorted it towards atheism, I see it as truly a blessing because we can actually see all the many things that Yahweh has done for us. I mean, Tabernacles, Elder Allen had a slide that showed comparison of the Earth and comparison to like different galaxies. And if you look at us, we are very insignificant in comparison to the rest of the universe. But Yahweh is still, he is still there for us and still helps us. I mean, the thing to take away from this is realize just how powerful Yahweh is. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in, and I do this myself, I get so focused upon my own problems, my daily problems, you know, the things that happen to me in life, that I forget to realize who Yahweh is. And realize that, you know, whatever the problems that may occur, he is still there for us. He has ultimate power. I mean, just to imagine, you know, just looking at the cell itself, it's like a universe unto itself, just the cell. And everything that's been created is absolutely amazing. You know, right now we're breathing. And, you know, our organs are functioning correctly. You know, we don't have to think about breathing. It just happens. Yahweh took care of that for us. Every moment that we have breath is a gift from Yahweh that he has allowed for us in his power. I'm not going to read it on the, I didn't put a slide up because I didn't want to drone on with, I didn't want to have too many slides basically. So I'm going to read this from Job 38 verses 4 to 18. Job 38 to I think it's 41, I believe, is absolutely powerful in terms of like understanding Yahweh's power. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible and understanding that. Just to give you a background of it, the entire book of Job prior is Job had an issue, he had a lot of trials that happened to him, and his friends, I guess they were his friends, came and tried to help to comfort him. Well, it kind of turned sour, and they try to comfort Job, what actually turns it into condemnation. But then in chapter 38, Yahweh has a say of like how things really are. And I like to, if you can, you can just listen or pull out your Bibles, starting verse 4. It says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or hath stretched the line upon it? Where are their foundations that are fastened, or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors, when it brake forth, as had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, I break up for it my decree, palace, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall the proud waves be stayed. Thou hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the dayspring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth of the wicked, that it might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked into the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, and hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare if thou knowest all." You know, whenever I read this, I realize just how little I know. I like to read, and the reason I like to read is because every time I read a book, I realize how much little I don't know. But just reading this passage, it just shows me just how little I know, just how little I perceive about the world. Just amazing the amount of power that Yahweh has. If reading this passage, we don't realize how small we are, I don't think we're getting the full comprehension of this passage. You know, when you read this, do you really feel independent? Do you really feel like you're very self-sufficient? You know, we have to rely on Him on all our needs. He's the one who provides all of these things for us. Like I said, we breathe, and He's the one that provides that for us. It is Yahweh who controls all that and gives us all these things. You know, it's amazing that even Yahshua needed Yahweh's help. Yahshua, of all people, who came to us, who had, almost unlimited power next to his father, still humbled himself and still needed Yahweh. I like to turn to Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, where it talks about Yahshua giving up the power because of he humbly submitted himself to Yahweh. It says in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yahshua, who being in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the stake. Wherefore Yahweh also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Yahshua Messiah is master to the glory of Yahweh the Father." Like I said, Yahshua of all people could have taken glory to himself, but he came to serve, not to be served. He realized that even though he had all this power, I think that's the difference between Yahweh and Satan. I believe they're both powerful beings. See, he talks about that Satan was a cherub. So he was a very powerful angel. Yahshua, too, was also very powerful himself. The difference between Yahshua and Satan was the fact that Satan could not let go of his power. Satan wanted his power. Whereas Yahshua, he looked to Yahweh. He realized that he realized where his power came from. Satan believed that his power came because he was amazing, because he was beautiful, because he was powerful. And he took that and became power hungry and sought to achieve more power. Whereas Joshua, he kept his focus on Yahweh. And I think that's a major part of humility. The moment we take our eyes off of Yahweh, the moment that we start looking at ourselves, the moment we start looking at someone else, the moment that we stop being humble. And that's a great example that Joshua did. Joshua was always in communion with his father. He was always, I mean, it talks about how he woke up early just from feeding thousands of people. He woke up early the next morning just so he can go to a mountain and pray. I don't know about you, but I like to sleep in the morning. And he had a lot of ambition to be connected with his father, despite all the stress that was upon him. If Joshua sought out to pray to his father and stay in communion with his father, how much more should we? I mean, it's definitely something that we need to do. Joshua humbled himself before Yahweh all the time. He submitted himself to him, even right before his passion, right before he had to go through all those tests and trials. He asked Yahweh, you know, let it be your will, let your will be done. And he submitted himself to him. Another misconception, I believe, is that people view humility as a weakness. You know, like I said, with the attitude of the world, you see, you know, someone who, maybe someone that's strong and aggressive, crushing the lowly man down. You know, do you see, you know, some people take this, you know, survival of the fittest is a huge term. You know, lots of cultures have even sought that. I know Nazis believe in that, you know, that it's nature that the strong shall survive, and they'll crush out the weak, and the weak will just go away, and only the strong will stay. But humility is really a strength, as we'll find out. And there's many reasons for this. The main reason is because, if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? You know, I talked about before about, you know, Yahweh's power, his creation power, you know, creating the universe. If you have that power behind you, really, what does it matter what Satan does? You know, obviously we should not disrespect Satan's power. But if you know if there's a greater power above, then we should take much comfort in that, knowing that since Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Like it, Paul says in Romans 8:31, if Elohim is for us, who can be against us? If we stop looking at our own strength, relied upon Yahweh's strength, then a lot of our problems, I believe, will go away. We need to start relying on Him instead of looking to ourselves and our own strength. You know, like I said, we do want, everyone wants to be strong, especially men. Men want to feel strong. They want to be independent. Not that, you know, women don't, but most men want to feel, you know, respected by people and to feel like there's strength within. But it doesn't really matter how strong you are as an individual. If you don't have Yahweh behind you, then there really is no strength behind it. It's very, very weak. We're much stronger if we submit ourselves to Yahweh instead of relying upon ourselves. There's a really cute story that I heard of this circus that had to move across town. And the only way for the circus to get across town is you had to cross this wooden bridge. Well, what they had to do is to get all the animals across, they paired the animals up. So the goats went with the zebras and all that. Well, the mouse was paired up with the elephant of all animals. And so the elephant and the mouse went across. And the wooden bridge is swinging back and forth, back and forth. And they finally make a cross, and the mouse goes to the elephant, boy, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? And that's kind of like how it is with us and Yahweh, and the fact that we're so small in comparison to Him. You know, we're like the mouse, and He's like the elephant. You know, how much greater help can Yahweh give if we don't rely on our own strength and rely on His strength? You know, with Yahweh, that help is unlimited. Like I said, with His power, He can do all things. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwelleth in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, Yahweh is here to help us. He will dwell with us if we are humble. If we are arrogant and think that we can do it all for ourselves, he won't be there with us. I mean, how amazing is it to think that, you know, it even says that he will dwell with us. And that's not just for this life, too. That's also in the next life, too. You know, if Yahweh is dwelling with us, then therefore we are dwelling with him. And if we're dwelling with him, therefore if in the kingdom we are with him, then we're dwelling with him. And it's only through humility that we'll be able to dwell with Yahweh. And how amazing a thought it is to have Yahweh with us, to have that power with us. And like I said before, blessings do come from humility. There are many blessings that do come from humility, but there's also many bad things that come from arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar was a great example of this. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but he had a dream of this big tree that was cut down. It was a really huge tree. You know, birds were in it and everything, and it was cut down eventually. And it disturbed him a lot, so he went to Daniel, and he asked him for the interpretation of the dream. Now, Daniel was also disturbed by this too, because he realized or interpreted the dream from Yahweh that it was actually talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, if you read about in Daniel 4, verse 29 to 31, gives you what happens afterwards, after Nebuchadnezzar gets this warning from Daniel. Daniel basically says that these things will happen to you, that your kingdom will be cut down. You are the tree. Your kingdom will be destroyed if you do not change your ways. Nebuchadnezzar then responds in this way. At the end of the 12 months, in Daniel 4, 29, 31, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. This is Nebuchadnezzar. The king spake and said, "Is not this great kingdom this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might and my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Well, the word was in the king's mouth. I just want to pause here one second here. What is, in verse 30, where is the glory going to? Just to give you an idea of Babylon, Babylon was one of the greatest empires in the world. You've heard of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And it was a majestic place that, I've only seen pictures of it, you know, from history. And it's just absolutely amazing, the architecture that they've built. When you look at verse 30, whose glory did Nebuchadnezzar give? I like to read. He says, "I have built my power, my majesty." And that pronoun is in himself. He's not thinking about anybody else. He believes in that by his own power, by his own might, by his own strength, that he's done all this stuff. He believes that by his wisdom, that he has, you know, created Babylon, and it is all for his glory. Well, Yahweh said that if you did not repent from his ways, he would be cut down. And it shows here in verse 31, we'll read, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom..." Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to pause there. "The kingdom is departed from thee." Sorry, I thought it kept on going. Where was I at? What was the result of this, of him bringing the glory upon himself? He did not take any credit to Yahweh, but he credited it all to himself. You know, I'm sure we could all think of instances where we have acted arrogantly and Yahweh has instructed us. Just to give you, for myself as an example, I had taken Taekwondo for a number of years, you know, was in martial arts for a lot. Did it for most of my life, and I thought it was pretty good. I was getting kind of arrogant and cocky, you know, because I was pretty fast, I was really flexible and everything. But Yahweh has a way to humble people, and looking back on it, it's a very great blessing. You know, I was doing really great. I was getting kind of cocky, thinking I was doing really good. So I was hot stuff, you know. And I fell one time and sprained my ankle. And sprained it really bad. Well, it healed, and I got back into class and stuff. And then I broke my ankle, my other ankle. And then I got back in class, finally healed again. And eventually I got really bad inflammation in my hips. Like I couldn't like kick very high and everything. And then I just, all these things just kept setting me back. And I kept wondering myself, why is this happening to me? You know, I really enjoy this. I'm having fun. You know, Yahweh, why are you, you know, causing all this pain and suffering to me? But it's a good thing because, you know, I'd much rather, you know, not that I don't enjoy that, but in the long term, it's much better to be humble than it is to be able to kick really high and think you're really cool. Because in the next life, that's really what's going to matter. You know, Yahweh, he wants us to succeed. He wants us to do great things, I believe. But if things are getting in the way, he will humble us. You know, in Luke 18, verse 14, it says that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the best thing to do is to stay humble, to realize that, you know, what you have is from Yahweh, and not get arrogant. Yahweh will lift you up. You know, those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, maybe it's not in this life. Maybe, you know, maybe things are pretty tough for you now. Maybe, you know, maybe you feel like you've just been kicked out of life. But, you know, Yahweh will bless those maybe in the next life. You know, sometimes we don't see the blessings. I think of Abraham in that, you know, he was promised to have, you know, multiple children, you know, tons and tons of kids, but he only saw one. I mean, just imagine the amount of faith that he must have had to have had. And he hung on. He realized that there was more to this life. You know, he didn't look to this world for things. And moving on, since I kind of skipped to it, we see the result of what happens after Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself. He was cast out of his kingdom. He was supposed to live with the animals for 7 years, basically live like a wild man. Just his hair grew long, his nails grew long, just lost all sense of reasoning of what was happening. Chapter 4, verse 34 and 36, he finally comes to his senses, and it says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth none can stay his hand or say unto him, What dost thou?" I just want to notice, make note too of, I mentioned before about the pronoun he was using before of I. Notice here he's changed it to he and him. I'll just go back a little bit here. He's praising Yahweh here. He's not giving himself, and he doth according to his will. And he according to his will. And who can say unto him, What dost thou? He's changed his perspective. He's looking to Yahweh for things instead of to himself. He's looking that Yahweh is the one that humbled him. He realizes that it's Yahweh that who raises up kings. It's Yahweh who brings them down. It's Yahweh who has all power. You know, we're as but grass before him. You know, everything that we have is basically something that he has given us. And you know, Yahweh showed mercy to Nebuchadnezzar. He gave him back his kingdom. In the next verse, it says that he came to his senses and he gave back his kingdom. And I believe that, you know, if we humble ourselves as Nebuchadnezzar did, Yahweh will show us the same type of mercy because he wants to give us things. He wants to help us. He wants to, you know, show his mercy and his love. But the only way he's going to be able to do that is if you humble yourself to him. Good things do happen to those who humble themselves to Yahweh. Why? Because it pleases him. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth Yahweh require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim." You know, Joshua narrowed down the commandments to love Yahweh and love your neighbor. I also believe that you cannot do either of those unless you inculcate these three attributes into your life. You cannot know love until you know what justice is, because then there will be no justice. There will just be love and mercy, and there will be no justice. You cannot know love without having mercy. And you cannot know love without humbly walking with Yahweh, with Elohim. Because True love comes from knowing that He is the one that gives us all things. I believe that many of the, you know, there are many commandments. We have the Ten Commandments and everything, and there are many laws of the Sabbath. But I believe that if we humble ourselves before Yahweh, many of those things will fall into place. I think if we look at ourselves and realize that we are sinners and we need to look to Yahweh, and we need to look to Yahshua and emulate His way of life, then I think things will naturally flow from us wanting to please Him, us wanting to keep His commandments. You know, each of us want to please. I believe everyone wants to please Yahweh. I mean, if you're here, obviously you're keeping the Sabbath, so you want to please Yahweh. And this is one of those things that He has required of us to keep Him, to please Him, is with our humility. Yahweh's mercy comes from His humility. You know, grace and mercy are some of the greatest things that Yahweh can give us. You know, all things in this life, they may pass away, but, you know, even if we, like I said before, we may have been kicked down or maybe things may not be going very well in this life, but we need to keep on remembering that we need to look to the next life, that there are good things that are becoming the next life. His mercy is not only, like I said, for this life, but for the eternal. When you stand before the judgment seat, what will be your response? Will you stand before Him and confidently say that you are, that all the good things you did, will you have a list before you and say all the wonderful things that you have done? Or will you fall at Yahshua's feet and cry before Him, "Have mercy on me, a sinner"? I believe that we need to have this response, that we need to realize that to have Yahweh's mercy, we need to be humble. We need to realize that it is that we need to humbly submit ourselves to Him, that we need His mercy for us to have life and for us to live. You know, Yahweh wants to bless us. He wants to give us His kingdom. He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to keep His commandments. He wants to do all these things. You know, Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or humble, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It is only through humility that we'll be able to get into the kingdom, because how can we come to Yahshua if we do not humbly submit ourselves to Him? It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how many great things we've done. Because if we don't have humility before Yahweh, then we'll just be accrediting all great things to ourselves and not to Him. It will be as if we will say to Yahshua, "Oh, your sacrifice was great, but look what I did." We need to obey Him. We need to be humble before Him. We need to look to Him in submission. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In thy all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Do you want to be successful in life? Do you want to live a life that is close to Yahweh? Do you want to keep His commandments better? Do you want to have a better relationship with your Father in heaven? Well, I believe that if you look to Yahweh and His greatness, in humility, He will bless you. Hallelujah.